Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. We are now at the last weekend of the month of February. Been featuring my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, for the last couple of weeks, and we will conclude the month with the final part of Dad's sermon, Contending for the Faith. We've been remembering Dad. He passed away in February of the year 2000, so the month of February, for the most part, has been commemorating his homegoing and talking a little bit about heaven in the first message of the month. So I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you'll enjoy the concluding part of the message today, as well as the music we have planned for you. I do covet your prayers as we're finishing up the month of February, Marksville, Louisiana, 21 to 25 in the Church of the Nazarene, and then the month of March, Nebo, Illinois, Nazarene Church, March 3 to 6, March 15 to 17, Fayetteville, North Carolina, the Wesleyan Church, and then March 22 to 24, Buffalo, Kentucky, in the Church of the Nazarene. So we're busy, and I'm thankful for the work and the churches that still believe in revival, and I do covet your prayers as I travel to these locations for the purpose of proclaiming the Word of God, for the purpose of revival in the local church. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your blessings in our lives. You have just been incredible to provide for us and to open doors and give us what we need to do the work that you've called us to do. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for our listening audience, those who take the time each week to tune in either via the internet, our website, or listen to it on this radio station. I pray you'd bless them good, and especially those who have a special need or a physical problem. I pray that you would touch them as only you can. I pray that you would continue to give anointing in services during revival meetings. I pray for the churches that will gather this weekend. Bless their pastors and their people as they come together to worship and to hear the Word of God. May we go out from our places of worship to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ. Continue to supply the need for the radio program through our people that listen. We are trusting you for that, Father. We ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Look forward to hearing from you. I hope you enjoy the remainder of the sermon preached by my father, Contending for the Faith, today.
Many times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. When despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient
abundant and free. Oh, what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. Abundant and free. Oh, what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, hear me tonight. I'll get out of the way of the Holy Spirit anytime He wants to take over. And I didn't get to preach. And I saw an opportunity about 12:15, give an altar call, the altar was filled. We got through about 20 minutes to 1. I said, now let's get down to the dining room. We've got to have dinner because we have the afternoon service at 2:30. Well, bless your heart, we went out of the dining room and the screen door was hooked. Little black lady came to the door. She said, pardon me, Reverend, but she said, dinner's not quite ready. You'll just have to wait because there's a loudspeaker that run down here from up there at the tabernacle, and the cook got under conviction while the meeting was going on, and she prayed through, and we don't have dinner ready. I said, that's all right. I'd welcome a few more like that to where the Holy Spirit, beloved, could literally have His way. I was preaching in Morrison Park camp meeting, Glasgow, Kentucky, several years ago. And this particular night, Clay Melby was the singer. Bless his memory. And Clay sang, and a little saint of God down here stood up. She didn't move out of her place, didn't say a word. All she did, just wave her handkerchief back and forth, back and forth. And that generated a spiritual stir in that tabernacle, and folk got to testifying. And it was my night to preach, and I just kept my seat. 8:15, 8:30, 8:45, I just kept my seat, and they were still testifying. Finally, beloved, I saw an opportunity to give an invitation, gave the invitation, had several people at the altar. And on the way to the cottage that night, one of the other individuals said to me, Brother Loman, you're going to be in trouble with the camp board. They expect you to preach regardless of what goes on. I said, I want to tell you now, if they don't want me to mind the Lord, there's a train that goes back to North Carolina in the morning, and I'll catch the train and go home. I'm not going to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about, beloved, a faith that embraces deep spirituality to where we let the Holy Spirit control things, move in our midst. I was preaching in a large church in southern Illinois. And one night the singer sang, and a little saint of God stood up down there. She looked like an angel. She just, her face just glowed. You know, that pastor looked around at me and he turned as pale as a ghost. He said, Harold, you think you can handle this? I said, handle what? He said, well, this thing's liable to get out of hand. We got a lot of wildfire around here. I said, man, I've seen so little fire around here, I'd welcome a little wildfire to warm things up. And I go to a lot of places we could stand a little bit more fire. Amen. I'm talking about, beloved, a faith. The kind of faith, beloved, that lets you know what Paul and when he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live no longer therein? For sin shall not have dominion or power over you, for you're not under law but under grace. Having therefore been made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and in the end everlasting life, and face this frowning world and testify that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. You say, Preacher Loman, how can I get that? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I'm talking about the kind of faith this evening, beloved, that makes you know something's taken place down in the inner recesses of your soul, and you belong to Him. He's yours. You know Him, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the wonderful, the counsel, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. And you wouldn't thank an angel to tell you about it, because His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you belong to the family of God. We need to contend for a faith that's worth fighting for. Worth fighting for. Did you know, friend, tonight there's too many people, and I don't mean to sound judgmental, but there's too many people that are not willing to get involved in the fight of building the kingdom. They want to stay out on the periphery, out on the sideline. They want to control the activities of the church, but they don't want to get involved in the business of kingdom building. They never go to prayer meeting. They never go Sunday night. And when revival comes and their club meets during revival, you know which one gets priority? The club. Mister, you're not involved in the fight if that's the way you live. Lady, you don't know what the battle is. That's the way you live. We need some people that will get involved in the fight of contending for the faith. You look at the Apostle Paul, saved on the Damascus Road, sanctified on the street called Straight, and spent the major portion of his years after that behind prison bars. Not because he'd committed a felony or a misdemeanor, not because he was a criminal, but because he got involved in the fight. Had a street meeting down there, beloved, at Philippi, stirred up the devil's crowd, and got thrown in prison. And the jailer, having a charge to keep them safely, put them in the inner prison and bound their feet and hands in the stocks. But Paul and Silas had a direct communique with the glory. They prayed and sang praises to God at midnight. Well, you can't get a lot of professed holiness people to come sing praises to God at 7:30 Wednesday night. Must left midnight. You say, Brother Loman, that's not very popular. I'm not courting popularity. I'll tell you that now. And beloved, hear me. God answered from the glory and shook that old prison and shook those stocks, and the doors fell off their hinges. That jailer was going to kill himself, but Paul said, wait a minute. We're all here. Do thyself no harm. You know what happened that night. They took Paul out one day and stoned him and left him to die out there at the edge of the city. And I can hear that crowd now say, we won't be bothered with that preacher anymore. It won't be long till the fowls will pick the flesh from his bones and his bones will bleach in the sun. But they forgot one thing, that the God that saved him on the Damascus Road was looking on. And God dispatched an angel from the glory down there to that field and ministered to Paul's bruises and his wounds. And Paul looked at a blood-stained garment and bruised body and got up and mustered up enough strength and summed it up something like this. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. Beloved, getting involved in the fight. I wish I could stay there, but I must go on. Hear me, friend, tonight. We need to contend for a faith that brings reward. Faith that brings reward. You go with me in your imagination for a moment. Down a winding staircase and listen to the jailer. Paul? Paul. Paul says, yes. Paul, the hours of execution has come. The executioner's waiting. You'll have to go now. And I hear Paul say, I'm writing a letter. Could I finish it? And the jailer gives him that permission. And he picks up that pen and he continues his letter to Timothy. Timothy, and I paraphrase to a degree, they've come for me. I got to go now. But Timothy, whatever you do, don't ever be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And really don't feel sorry for me because I'm his prisoner. Whatever you do, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and make full proof of your ministry. He said, Timothy, I'm going now, but Timothy, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not to me only, but to them also that love his appearing. He signed his benediction and handed the scroll to the jailer and said, see that my friend gets that. And out to the executioner's block, and by the time his head hit the basket, he was in the blissful presence of his Lord. Listen, friend, I want to tell you tonight, there is reward for faith. This and I'm through. These two simple incidents. I was in Detroit, Michigan, in revival several years ago. One night after the first service, Dr. Ralph Cleveland, who was pastor of the church, he reprimanded a lady in his church who had gotten out of bed and came to church that night. The doctor had diagnosed her condition as deterioration of the spinal column that was to be a terminal illness. And I heard him reprimand her for getting out of bed, coming to church. I saw that lady stand there and sob out loud. She said, Dr. Cleveland, I've prayed so long for revival in our church, and I prayed that God would give me strength to come to meeting tonight, and I don't think I'll be any the worse for coming. The next day we had a noonday prayer meeting in that church. Dr. Cleveland said, Brother Loman, the lady that was at church last night's back in bed today. We're going out to see her. And I went with him, walked into that room, and that lady, her neighbor lady, was with her. That lady said to me, Brother Loman, if you and my pastor come out here to pray that God will heal me, I don't want you to do it. She said, I'm so resigned to his will to lay here on this bed, use my telephone, witness to my neighbors and my friends about the glorious experience of heart holiness and full salvation. She said, I want God's will to be done, and if it's his will that I lay here until he takes me home, I'm resigned to his will. I said, lady, you're the kind of person God can really do something for. I said, because most people want to get well right now. But she said, no, that's not the way I feel about it. We visited a while, read some scripture. We anointed her with oil, and Dr. Cleveland prayed. I didn't feel that anything unusual took place. But we did some calling in the home that we were entertained in for the evening meal when we arrived. The lady of the house said, Dr. Cleveland, your wife Joanne wants you to call the parsonage. And he called the parsonage, and his wife said, Ralph, the most amazing thing happened this afternoon. The lady that you and Brother Loman went to visit, that's been so sick and suffered so much with the deterioration of the spinal column, she called me 15 minutes after you left her house and said, Joanne, God has healed me. Every bit of the pain's gone. And right now, that pastor's wife said, she's down here in the next block now with her neighbor lady knocking on doors, handing out revival circulars. And beloved, hear me. That's been nearly 15 years ago, and a friend of mine in one of the Florida camp meetings not too long ago said to me, Brother Loman, as far as they can determine, they've never found a trace of that deterioration. You know what that is? That's a reward of faith. That's a reward of faith. Now remember, well, and I want you young people to get this. Our oldest son, Larry, the year that he graduated from high school, sitting at the dinner table one day, said to me, he said, I'd like to go out of the state for a sporting event. I didn't think that his car would make the trip, and I said, no, son, I don't want you to go. And I never had one of my children, now hear me out, I never had one of my children to blade out at me like he did. And I sat there and listened to him as he went on a tirade. Think of me what you will, but hear me out. While he was just really taking me over the coals, he said, all we talk about is God and prayer and revival and church. And he said, I'll be so glad when I get away from home. And I just bowed my head. I said, Lord, help me to keep sweet right now. Just help me to keep sweet right now. And when Larry finished his tirade, I said, son, are you through? He said, I suppose so. I said, I know you want to get away from home. I know that you want to get out on your own. But I said, the day that you go, the time will come that you'll get so homesick, you'd give anything to eat at mother's table and sleep in the bed upstairs. He said, I'll take a chance on that. I saw our boy board the bus after he graduated from high school and took him to the United States Navy. He'd write occasionally, but I could read between the lines he was homesick, but he'd never admit it. 4 years he saw the world. We prayed for him every day. I committed him to the Lord. Beloved, one day, I was pastoring at the time. My phone rang. The operator said, would you accept the call from James L. Loman? I said, yes, ma'am. He came on the line. There was a noise in the background. He said, hi, Dad. I said, hi, son. Where are you? He said, 500 miles out to sea. He said, I'll be in Norfolk, Virginia Tuesday morning, and I get to come home for 21 days. Will you meet me there? I said, the Lord will, and I'll be there. I happened to be a chaplain in the Civil Air Patrol, which is an auxiliary of the Air Force, and I wore my uniform that morning to help facilitate matters getting on the officer's parking dock. And I pulled on the parking base, and the USS DuPont pulled up in up there, and there was our son, Larry, up on the helm of that ship. I got on board the ship and helped him get his things together. We were coming down through Charlottesville, Virginia, and I thought Larry had gone to sleep. And all of a sudden, he laid his hand over on my knee and put his head on my shoulder and cried like a baby. He said, Dad, you know, I'm proud of you. I said, son, I appreciate that, but why'd you say that? He said, you remember before I went in the Navy that day that I told you that I'd be glad when I got away from home, that all we talked about was church, God, revival, and prayer? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, Pop, down there in the Mediterranean area, there were nights that I would get a lounge and I'd go up on the top deck about time that I thought it was time for you to preach. He said, I figured about the time schedule. And he said, I'd lay there on deck by myself. And he said, I'd have given anything in the world if I could have been in one of your meetings. He said, Pop, I literally wet my pillow more than one night wishing I could hear Mother pray like she prayed when I was at home. And he said, Dad, whatever you do, don't you let up. You keep holding on. It wasn't too long till they transferred him to Honolulu. He'd gone about as high now in the Navy as he could go without being a commander. My brother-in-law and I flew out to Los Angeles. I boarded the Continental DC-10 the next morning, and when we were airborne, I wasn't interested in the music. I wasn't interested in the movie they were going to show. I got wrapped up, beloved, in my mission, and I got to thinking the reason I was going to Honolulu was to hold a revival in a little church at Ewa Beach, Hawaii, where our son and his wife and our grandson attended. It's 5 hours and 15 minutes to Honolulu from Los Angeles. Beloved, I want to tell you, I don't think that in all the years of my Christian experience have I ever spent as much time at one time with the Lord, and it's such a short time. But I literally prayed through. God gave me the witness on that plane that day out over the ocean that He was going to give me my son. They gave us the normal greetings that they give everyone from the mainland. I'd hear him get on the phone and call his fellow officers and others in the other branches of the service and tell them, my dad's in town, I want you to come to hear him preach. We had such great fellowship. Larry didn't miss a service every night right there. But we came to Saturday night. Nothing had happened for him. But I noticed, beloved, that he got under conviction. He didn't talk much. The next morning, he absented himself from the other part of the house and went back into the bedroom and stayed there till time to go to church. He didn't say much at the noon hour. And the enemy said to me, what are you going to do if he doesn't get in? You said the Lord promised you that He'd save your boy. I said, you just well, get behind me. I believe God's going to do just exactly what He said He'd do. I packed my suitcases. My brother-in-law and I got ready, went to church, I brought my message, gave the invitation, and they sang one verse and nobody came. And then I said, we're going to sing one more verse. If nobody comes, we're going to close. But I said, some of you had a lot of opportunities to pray. Some of you had a lot of opportunities to seek the Lord. When they started that second verse, and the lieutenant in the Air Force was the song leader, our son left his seat back there and literally ran to that altar and draped himself over that mourner's bench. And his son came and knelt by him, and that lieutenant that was the song leader dropped his songbook and came and knelt on one side of Larry. And a sergeant in the Marines came and knelt in front of him. Several others came to the altar, and I knelt there and I heard Larry as he prayed clear through to victory. And he got up and turned around to that congregation. He said, I'm not given to much speaking in public, but he said, I just want to tell you something's happened to me tonight. The first time in my life, I feel clean on the inside. The Lord's met my need. Listen, friend, I want to tell you, Larry, Kay, Marty, his family, love God, walk with the Lord, retired from the Navy now, a computer expert in Maryland, and God blessing him beyond measure tonight. You see, friend, when you think about it, that's the reward of faith. And God wants to give us some of that reward here in the next 10 days. He said, it's necessary that I earnestly remind you or exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time, and in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.